Hans and Scotty, nothing better than a sharp-dressed man, and Craig Bowlerjack, a sharp-dressed man indeed. Kind enough to join us. Bowler, how you doing?
Hey, Bowler.
Hey, Scotty, Hans. I do have a fresh shirt and clean shoes, so I'm ready to go.
That counts. That works.
Yeah.
Hey, do you do the Instagram thing?
No.
You're not missing much, by the way. But you need to look at Lemma Harrington's Instagram page. It's nothing but him and his suit combinations.
Oh, yes. Yes, he's a well-dressed man of Salt Lake. He and Thurl are difficult to even try to stay, you know, stay up with, to be honest with you. So
best dressed pre, half, and post game show in the NBA.
Oh, there's no doubt. Yeah, there's no doubt. And I try to put a kerchief in, you know, when I'm with Thurl, just to dull my, you know, just to give myself a little boost.
You know, you gotta, you know, high tide lifts all boats, and so you gotta up the game a little bit when you're hanging out with Thurl.
No, you have to. Now with Matt, no, but with
Thurl, Matt, you don't need to worry about it.
No, don't worry about that. Yeah.
Hey, Bowler, I always have to start off with something random, and I've got a random question. Who's the most famous person you've ever met?
Oh my goodness. Well, let's see. Most are in the world of sport.
I would just say entertainer, athlete, coach, in anything. Just the most famous person that you've ever met.
That I have ever met. President Bush.
Ooh.
Which one?
George W.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, George W. So that's a president. That's up there.
That's way up there. What was that meeting like? A handshake and a...
It was just, a big bear hug and what's up. No. Yeah, it was just by same place, same moment, and just had a chance a person I knew him. And so I was able to gravitate and a handshake and a hello.
Okay. You always run into Jack at Laker games, don't you?
Oh, yeah, Jack. I got pictures with Jack. Got a picture with the late Kobe. I don't ask for pictures much, but those things just kind of happen when somebody said, hey, come on over here. And then Kobe came to the desk to talk to us, and it was his last game that he played that I have with Matt and I and him in the middle.
That's
and
great.
I think, yeah.
You'll never regret that one.
No, not at all. And the other one probably that ranks very high on my list is Muhammad Ali. Was with him for quite a while at the NCAA basketball tournament when I was at CBS, and he was a guest in the suite that we were all in. And he couldn't have been. I remember talking to him. I got a picture with him, and he really comes alive. He came alive when you talk to him about the greatest of all time. And he just kind of whispered at that time his health was declining rapidly, and he put his fist right to my face, which is monstrous, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
His fist, by the way. My face is big, but his is big. And he says, I am the greatest of all time. I'm not going to argue with you, champ.
yeah.
But, yeah, he was up there just visiting, and he was really engaged. He knew what was happening around him. And then he went down to do an award at halftime, and it was like the seas parted when he made his way down to the floor at the arena. Everyone just stood, and it was quite an interesting, special moment. I grew up watching him, and I know all the issues he went through, and not, fighting in Vietnam and having his title stripped, and his comeback from, the Cassius Clay days, the Olympic gold. It's quite a story, and quite a humanitarian too along the way. I don't know if there was another more far-reaching athlete of our time.
You bring up a really good point there. I don't know. I don't know if there's another athlete that has had as big of a impact not only in his sport but culturally as well than Muhammad Ali.
I would agree. Yeah. The days of the old ABC Wide World of Sports and Howard Cosell, both those guys kind of made each other when I was a kid. And that was a big thing for a Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier type fight to be on. And Howard Cosell would be there. Muhammad. You know, that, you know, who didn't impersonate him a little bit. But those two guys made each other and really was kind of the beginning of, you know, putting sports more and more on national television. And boxing at the time, especially heavyweight boxing, was big. Look at George Foreman, man. He's still making grills, hands. I mean, he, you could throw a slab of ribs on that George Foreman grill and come out of it pretty good, probably.
Not too bad. I've got one of those.
How do you use it?
Yeah. You do panini sandwiches on them.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. A little sandwich press.
They're good. And make a quick burger if you have to, or even split a hot dog in half, man. Lay it in there.
Bowler, you know what I love about you, Bowler? You speak my language.
Well, Bowler's here's the thing. We put Bowler up on a pedestal, and deservedly so, but he's the everyman.
He's the man.
He's not afraid to eat a hot dog every now and then.
Split a hot dog in half. Lay it down flat. Let it fry both sides.
Right.
And do it without having to flip it. That's what the foreman is all about.
Yeah. That's what it's all about. It
takes half the work away.
You know, if you lose the grease trap, you're in trouble. You just throw a bowl underneath there and let everything run out. I've had that problem.
Oh, nobody has their original grease trap. That thing was lost a long time ago. You put like a little plate or a bowl in there. Absolutely.
Yep. What happened to that thing? I don't know. It got lost in the washer. Okay.
Yep.
Most of the time, the washer melts it.
Exactly.
You can't leave it next to those heating plates in there.
Hey, I got a crazy story for you. I actually believe this, okay? And I don't know how it happened, but has anyone ever lost a washcloth in a bathtub?
Whoa.
No.
Yeah.
That sounds like if that happens, that sounds like you're going to have a guy with a snake coming out here there pretty soon.
Well, no, I tell you, man, it didn't happen that way. I think, you know, when I was a kid, I don't know why this still hangs on my memory, but, you know, I'm kind of that conspiracy theory guy, you know, and I thought, and I take showers, by the way. When I was a kid, it was all about, you know, jumping in the tub.
Yeah.
But I swear I had a washcloth that was there, and then my mom says, "Where is it?" And I said, "It's right here." It wasn't
gone.
So it had to be some sort of something or someone took it.
Yeah, that's that went down the drain.
Mm. Yeah, never to be seen again. I don't know.
You know, there was a second shooter that came and got that washcloth.
That's right, the grassy knoll. That's exactly right, Scotty.
So, Bowler, what are your thoughts on this whole LeBron disrespecting Utah thing? Does it bug you? Is it bother? Does it just roll off the back? How should people handle this?
Well, let's see here. I'm going to try to be as philosophical and deep as I can because it's bothered me, but I also kind of get how this thing works. Maybe I'm wrong, and I know it impacts Jazz fans, and the passion they have for this franchise is real, and I appreciate that, by the way. You know, this is a mind game, in my opinion, I think thrown out by LeBron. But also it bothers me because, you know, he's fought for rights and also fought, you know, the non-bullying type thing, and then he falls into the trap, maybe set up by the whole draft scenario and the national TV, stage that he was given. I don't think it's good for the NBA. I really don't, for the situations that we just discussed, where they've been, where they're trying to go. But also, I think, you know, it's a one-day talk subject. And I think fans are going to have to just realize tomorrow is a new day and another topic will make its way to the national, you know, forefront. I've seen a lot of different cuts and takes from different radio and talk shows, and it's an amazing thing how this topic can be jumped upon and the journalism that's been lost. I grew up as a journalist and always have your facts right, always know the subject matter you discuss instead of just spewing, I think, oddities and absurdities. And I think that's where we are in this particular subject because it does focus around LeBron and Durant, who were given the stage to make this so-called draft work. I don't know, honestly, what was in the minds of those two guys, if they want to tell Rudy and Donovan the Jazz aren't that good and they're coming for them because they both are title contenders and most believe those two teams will meet in the finals. So that's my take, and I think the Jazz have to rise up and go beyond it. And if you want fuel to push you to the next level, then there's no better time than this. I don't know if they need it, but also the Jazz have been through their own issues this year with COVID. We're coming up on the one-year anniversary where it all went down in Oklahoma City. You know, I was there for that, shared that moment. It's seared in my brain. And this is just an oddity that's happening right now again that is troublesome. But also, you know, tomorrow is another day and another subject. So you move past it. And hopefully the Jazz understand that I don't ever say small market. I say mid-market. This isn't just Utah. It's Portland. It's most likely in San Antonio. It's in New Orleans. It's in Memphis where Mike played for 12 years. These feelings are pretty much resonated throughout the league in a lot of the smaller mid-market cities and franchises. So the Jazz must have the responsibility to say, all right, if that's the way you guys want to play this game, we rise above it and we fight through it and play through it and prove our point of who we are as a team. So that's how I would try to handle it. I would be angry at the front of it, but at the same time, maybe there's something here that's a benefit. I don't know where LeBron was coming from. Charles jumped in, and I thought, hey, you know, and then the word slander comes in, which even makes it, okay, you're protecting the Jazz, but at the same time, it kind of gives it even more credence at the time. Everybody can read this differently, right, guys?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, again, it's the way our country is today. We're at a very high level of disrespect. And so this is just another angle of how sports maybe does reflect our daily lives at times. Man, this is a deep convo, but there's some truth to it. I mean, people live sports, and they feel like it's kind of a reflection of life, and sometimes it is. Maybe this is one of those examples. I don't know. But what drove LeBron and KD to put Rudy and Donovan at the bottom of the list? I have no clue, especially after he said he wanted a big and he goes with Sabonis, and Rudy sitting right there at 7-1. It is odd that the two players on the best team were taken dead last. Mm-hmm. And is that a message from Durant and LeBron to the Jazz to say, you're not at our level yet? I don't know.
So that's,
we'll see.
That's what I took. I think it's psychological warfare, honestly.
I think really when it comes down to it, it is. It's mind games. And can the Jazz fight through it? And can the Jazz fan base understand it as well?
If the Jazz were the 4 seed, I don't think this happens. I really don't.
Yeah.
And if the Jazz hadn't beat the Lakers by 25 a week ago too, I don't think it happens either.
That's a good point. And LeBron, if I'm not mistaken, I think he turned and walked. There was no, well, again, the league, he would say the league doesn't allow much touch and hug and high five it, but you can still say, you know, most times you see teams at least walk by their opponent and have a hello and a goodbye, but not in that case. So we'll see how it plays out. You know, the Jazz have the second season starts a week from today at home against Houston and a 5-game road trip. And then after that, I think the Jazz play upwards of 12 of their next 15 at home, and they can make quite a statement there. But staying healthy is one thing. Staying focused is another, and that's going to probably focus on not only Quinn Snyder, but the two guys that were dissed, and that's Donovan and Rudy.
I wonder what influence or impact Donovan Mitchell blowing up at the end of that game Wednesday may have had on it. And I want to get your thoughts on that as well as the fine that was announced earlier today, $25,000 for Donovan, $20,000 for Rudy Gobert.
Yeah, and Rudy stepped in and said, I want my time too, right? So it was a $20,000 visit. But, you know, I think it shows you two hands that it's really I got your back mentality with this team. I think, you know, what happened on the draft night last night is kind of perpetuates into the same discussion points of what happened in Philadelphia and kind of a fight for the mid-market teams. You know, I don't know. I'm sure there's been studies, and the two-minute report came out, and I think there were 6 discrepancies that were against the Jazz. And, you know, you can sit and moan and groan all you want, but nothing's going to change on paper, right? You know, when you moan about a foul, it really most likely isn't going to be overturned. It can, but rare. And a coach has to make sure that he's going to use the challenge at the right time. So I think Gobert's done much better this year, by the way, guys, to just push ahead when he was more or less always, you know, griping about a non-call and also would miss getting back down on the floor defensively. I think he's been much more in tune with just playing through it, and that's a sign of maturity in my book. But look, is there an excuse? Probably not as a professional, but at the same time, we're human, and who hasn't popped their cork, right? Who hasn't? Hands, Scotty, me, I raise my hand. I mean, I've popped after, I think I have a long fuse, but I popped. And I think Donovan, after 4 years, just, you know, he just let go. And maybe spoke not only for himself or the franchise, but maybe for a lot of other teams that feel the same way. So, you know what, 25 grand in this day, that's nickels and dimes in the reality of what they get paid. So, okay, I get the league has to make a move. I thought maybe it'd be even more after using a couple of choice swear words in the convo. But 25 and 20, kind of pretty much standard procedure. But I think the Jazz now have to step back, take a breath, and reset and refocus mentally. I really do, because there's a lot of issues out there that are being discussed about this franchise. And this franchise, damn good, well-respected, has been always from the beginning of the Miller Foundation when they bought it from Sam Battistone to where they are now with Ryan and his family. So, yeah, I think you just have to push through and, you know, you want to play with a chip on your shoulder, so be it. Maybe that's the one thing that in the long run you'll say, hey, LeBron, thanks, if you actually do achieve the goal you set out to achieve, and that's a title.
I was even worried about Conley. It looks like he's gone unscathed, but Mike was like, hey, you know what? It doesn't surprise me because this went on at Memphis. This is just what happens to small market teams.
Mike's, you know what? Maybe Mike's, the fact he's never drawn a technical foul played in Kiki Vandeweghe's way of thinking. I don't know. But, yeah, Donovan and Rudy both decided to make a statement, and maybe, again, Rudy is protecting the back of Donovan. I don't mind that after, you know, the issues that went down a year ago and some of the fear of whether or not they could still coexist as teammates. And I think, again, that was just another indication that, yeah, they're on the same page and they have the same goal in mind. So we'll see how it turns out. You can either use it as a motivator, or you can sit and lower your head and pout. I don't think the Jazz are going to sit and pout. I really don't.
Well, I don't think Jazz fans are going to sit around and pout either. I feel like everything that we're experiencing right now with this Jazz team, the number one record in the NBA, number one seed right now, still being torn apart and doubted nationally, having LeBron James pick those two Jazz players dead last in the All-Star picks, I feel like... And then having national media disrespect not just the Jazz, but disrespect the city by saying nobody likes Salt Lake City. I feel like all this is doing is bringing all of us together, Bowler, getting behind this Jazz team. And if the Jazz continue to play like they're doing, we will see a peak of excitement in this state we have never seen. Don't you think that this is just galvanizing the fan base and bringing us all together and getting ready for a second half push?
Well, you know, the one thing that's always galvanized this city, and again, I'm a transplant, right, from Missouri and Kansas to Salt Lake, and I learned, you know, what this place, what it means, and I stayed here. And look, is it perfect? No. But is it incredible? Yes. No place is. Come on. I mean, you know, and people can throw out, do you like Detroit? Well, okay, I've been there. I've got my own thoughts about Detroit. I got my own thoughts about Chicago. I got my own thoughts about Dallas and Austin, Texas. I got my own thoughts about Auburn, Alabama. I got my own thoughts about, you know, Mobile, you know, and New York City, where I worked for 13 years with CBS. Hey, look, no place is perfect. Look, everybody can throw a knife at any place you go. And I don't know why that seems to be kind of the what would it say, Hans and Scotty? It seems to be in vogue right now, you know, to pick on Salt Lake or the state of Utah, perhaps. But I think this city's always been galvanized. My point, I think BYU and Utah fans, they come together when it's the Utah Jazz, blue and red. There's no color. It's basically Jazz colors. And that's what I've seen from the minute I walked, you know, into the state in 85 and Malone was drafted a week after I got here. And that's what I see. It's always been galvanized, is that you can be Mormon or non-Mormon. You can be a Cougar or a Ute or an Aggie or a Wildcat or a T-Bird, whatever it may be. But yet everybody's on mostly the same page when it comes to the Utah Jazz. And that's the thing Larry I think, really was so proud of that it was something that brought the entire state and their region together. And I don't see that changing under, you know, Ryan Smith's leadership at all. But, you know, Jazz are special. There's no question. This NBA city is special, and this team has special players in it right now. And so they're being challenged. And I think it's, like you said, Hans, it can galvanize even more. And I think, but it literally lands on the shoulders, players' shoulders, on how they're going to react to this, right? I mean, they play the game, as you did, Hans, at a high level. And so your motivation, you know, you can't play angry, but you can play motivated. I always was told, you know what? If you play angry, sometimes you lose your head and you don't do the right things. But if you play with motivation and focus, then I was always told, right, good things are going to happen, pal. That's what I heard, you know, from coaches. So I try to separate anger from motivation, and I think I'd be really motivated right now if I'm Rudy, Quinn Snyder, and Donovan Mitchell, and Joe Ingles and the rest of this team, because you know they have their back.
By the way, great tweet from Joe Ingles. Retweeted the announcement that that Donovan and Rudy both got fined for $25,000 and $20,000, and he just tweeted it out and said, "Unsalvageable. These two even get fined together."
That's great. You know, how does, and look, can they both get picked under the last two guys? I mean, I don't know if that has anything to do with last year or the COVID situation, because Rudy was first, Donovan was second. You know, during that night we were tested in Oklahoma City, man. I mean, you can write a story about it, a book, a movie, about just those 12 hours in OKC on everything that went down during that whole time frame. But, you know, I think these guys are going to be forever, you know, forever linked, whether they like it or not, right? But they've worked through it, and I've seen no indication on the floor that they're not on the same page and don't have the same goal. But this is a trying time. I mean, we've all been – I mean, look, it's sport, and people will say, don't tell me this, it's not trying. But, I mean, for a franchise, it's got to be – I'm sure the buzz is pretty heavy around Jazz front office and ownership, right, about this whole thing. Mm-hmm. And how does Adam Silver handle it? I don't know if he wants to or will address it. But I don't know if that's the way the league really wants other players responding to other cities or other players. But that's up to Adam Silver, and to see if the Jazz, you know, get into the conversation with it as well.
Bowler, always a pleasure to catch up with you. Thanks for joining us, and enjoy some time off.
Yeah.
You got big plans or anything?
You know, mow the lawn. No, I'm kidding. It's not ready yet. So I think I'll just sit back and kind of take it in, see where this whole thing goes. I'm not even sure if I'm in the mood to watch the All-Star game. Heavy combo today, guys, but much needed, I think, for fans and for all.
Oh, for sure.
You know, it's. I think, like I said, though, my experience in this business is that tomorrow there'll be another topic that hits, and someone else is going to be out there trying to gain ratings or make a name for what they say. I think for me, as an old school guy journalistically, it kind of saddens me at times to see this, to see the rhetoric get out of control when you really don't know the facts or the city. Mm-hmm. Or the players that are involved, and that would be helpful going forward. But it is what it is. It's a world of entertainment, and sports talk radio is the place to get some facts out on the, you know, on the floor, and get the emotions out, and you know that's what it's all about.
You're the best, Bowler. Appreciate
Thanks, Bowler.
It.
Hey guys, be good. Have a good weekend. Take
you,
care.
You got it, Craig Bowler, Jack, right here on the Zone Sports Network. I will say this: there's been a couple of you know, these talking head shows on ESPN, and every show so far has led with, were the Jazz disrespected? Did the Jazz deserve this level of disrespect? So it's out there now.
Everyone.
Yep.
Every single one. It was on the front page of ESPN this morning.
Yeah. All right. Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Andrew Reinert with us from Wasatch Medical. And I think it's really important we talk about this, is someone who represents an organization that's helping so many guys along the Wasatch Front deal with ED. I think it's important to know that not only does this attack the root of the problem, but there's an end date. This isn't something you have to do the rest of your life.
Yes, that's a great point. Our treatments for erectile dysfunction typically take a few over about 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, pretty short window if you think about it, when you have to take a pill for the rest of your life, deal with injections, you know, it kind of wreaks havoc on the relationship. This is really quick. I have seen guys that do a few treatments over that 2 to 3 week period and throw the pills away completely. So that's a game changer. If you're out there struggling with erectile dysfunction, we've got a clinically proven treatment. It goes to the root of the problem, like you said, increases blood flow, improves circulation, and that is what erectile dysfunction is. It's simply a lack of blood flow.
Free assessment, and I love the fact that you always have a lot of free when you call in at 801-901-8000, but that assessment with a physician is absolutely free.
Yes, it's totally free. He'll do an exam, and one kind of cool thing is he'll test your blood flow, which I've done several times, gives you a rating on how good your blood vessels are. Probably never done that. We'll do that free. We're going to throw in a little gift that produces immediate results in the bedroom just for making the trip. I don't think I've ever seen it fail. So, yeah, a lot of value. And then from there, you can decide if these treatments are a good fit for you.
801-901-8000. Make that phone call right now. 801-901-8000. Andrew Reiner, thanks so much, man.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, this segment brought to you by S&S Roofing. Their huge winter and spring sale event is going on now when you can save thousands on a roof. Call #250 and say S&S Roofing for your free bid.
Number one. Vegas, your number one preset. The Zone Sports Network is Utah's number one choice for sports radio in Utah. From DJ and PK to Hanson Scotty and The Big Show with Gordon Monson and Jake Scott, The Zone continues to dominate the competition. Thank you to all of you that continue to make the Zone Sports Network Utah's highest rated, most listened to sports station. Your home for the best coverage of the teams you're passionate about is right here. 97.5 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. It's time to spin the wheel and talk some sports. This is another edition of Sports Roulette with Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
.97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. Time for another edition of Sports Roulette. Take some of the storylines we've not had a chance to get to, put it on a nice little roulette wheel and spin it. And wherever that little ball lands is what we end up talking about. So with that, let's fire it up, shall we? Lloyd, spin that wheel.
How is a picture worth this?
Tom Brady's rookie card just sold for $1.32
million. Stop it.
The card is a hand-signed 2000 playoff.
Oh, okay. Well, it's got signed then, at least.
Hand-signed 2000 playoff contenders championship rookie ticket card. One of only 100 produced. Card was graded by folks at the PSA at an 8 and signature quality of 10, and it sold for $1.32 million. Right after it sold, Darren Revelle sent out a tweet and said the exact same card that checked in at an 8.5 with the 10 signature sold at $1.7 million just last month. So this person got a deal at $1.32 million. Revelle also reports 7 people are in possession of this same card with a 9 grade, and 3 of those people have been offered $5 million to sell. Each person declined. This is according to Darren Revelle. And Darren, this is kind of his business, isn't it?
This is right up his alley. He would know. As annoying as he can be on Twitter sometimes, this is his wheelhouse.
How did we get here?
I don't know. I think, well, kind of it was the, kind of the Jordan documentary last year kind of kicked up the Jordan cards, and those really started to pop. And then it just seems like it's bled over into everything.
The passing of Kobe.
That true? Yep, as well.
That sparked a lot of things with Kobe. You saw that his childhood basketball rim sold for $38,000.
Yeah, I saw that.
The person that bought his childhood home ripped the basketball hoop and backboard out of the side yard and sold it for $30,000+. The Kobe Bryant memorabilia has gone bonkers. I'm surprised that sports cards are doing what they're doing. It's a piece of paper with a picture on it. I can't even imagine. I mean, when things really get tough in this country, we'll use those to keep fires lit. Like, those don't matter. It's a stupid card for $1.3 million.
I have a hard time. This is the thing, like, okay, so you're like, I want that card so bad. I want it. Or go get it. And you got the money, you're like, all right, $1.3 million, it's yours. And then it comes to your house, and you're like, oh, man, it's a card.
It's a card.
Like, what are you supposed to do with it? Like, obviously, do you put it in a nice display case? And then when your neighbors come over, like, hey, look what I got here. This is a Tom Brady rookie, and it's signed. The guy's like, oh, that's cool. How much you pay for it? $1.3 million.
I easily get buyer's remorse. I
feel like I'm the worst with buyer's remorse. Yeah.
Like it would. Like, oh,
well,
man.
And you know Jackie Blue Eye, you'd find it in his mouth. And you'd be like, Jackie, why are you sucking on the Tom Brady rookie card, man? You know your kid would, like, grab it. My dog would shake it and throw it in the backyard. It'd be like,
Xavier would be just have it with him in bed, and it'd be all bent. Honey, like, oh, I love Tom.
Honey, where's my $1.32 million Tom Brady rookie card? I don't know. The kids had it yesterday.
They were out there playing with it.
Oh, man.
Might be under the tree, maybe. That's what I last saw.
Okay, guys, honestly. Okay. I want your honest opinion on this. This guy that bought this card, you go over to your buddy's house, and this is a buddy of a buddy, and he's like, hey, guys, come back here. I want you to check this thing out. And you go back and you see this Tom Brady rookie card, and he says to you, without being asked, paid $1.3 million for that. What is your take on this person? Like, how would you jealous? Are you?
No, I am embarrassed for them.
I am embarrassed, mortified, and I'm looking at him like, You
imagine it being a rich person. Imagine you have, you know, people over for dinner, whatever. Hey, check out this card. And they're like, well, that Picasso's a lot cooler than this. Like, I just don't think they think that's that cool.
It blows me away. I don't know what to think.
Well, it's happening. That's what's happening in the world of card trades right now. Incredible prices.
You know what's, you know, if you follow Ravel, you see all the cards. You know what's also blowing up is what's the thing? Pokemon cards. There's some Pokemon card that went for like hundreds of thousands of dollars.
I had not heard that.
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous.
Was Pokemon back in our day?
I think it was after us.
It was after us.
Yeah.
But those aren't the things that you flip, the round things?
The Pongs or something like that. Were those related
pods.
To Pokemon?
Pods?
Pogs. Those are Pogs.
Pogs or Pods?
I think it's Pogs.
P-O-G-S, I think.
Tide Pogs.
And you'd press the corner of it, and it'd flip it. And then if it landed on a side, I think you won it.
Wow.
I don't remember exactly how that
worked. That was a little bit after us, too. Like, at least we were in college when that stuff hit, right?
The Pogs?
Yeah.
Man, I thought I remembered Pogs when I was younger. Maybe you're right. Maybe it was after us. Pokemon's going for a lot of money?
Yeah. Well, and I think people now are looking at these cards and they're buying them up, not just because they're a fan of Michael Jordan. They're using them as investments.
Well, you know what sucks? Have you tried to buy a pack of football cards lately?
I've not.
Can't. I always get a couple packs for Rock for his birthday. Can't get them. They're not in store. I can't find them in stores. I guess you could go to a specialty shop. Probably prices for a pack of cards, I'll bet, are over a dollar now.
Yeah.
Well over a dollar.
Yeah. All right, 1245, Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, you're going to hear from Joe Ingles, his thoughts on the comments made last night in the NBA All-Star Draft. It's all straight ahead right here on the Zone Sports Network.
The Big Show. The Big Show. With Jake Scott and Gordon Monson.
Let's get out to the Zone phone. He is Tim Lacombe.
I have a guest with me right now. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. David Rose.
Hey.
How you doing?
Dave, I want to ask you about what's happening in basketball. This emphasis on the three-point shot.
It is unbelievable. I was watching a team in the SEC. The entire second half did not shoot a two-point shot. They shot a three-pointer or a free throw. That tells you where the game's going. The Jazz have got four shooters on the floor all the time, and sometimes five. I would hate to be a defensive guy right now because those are the guys who have really got the challenge of trying to figure out how they're going to stop these teams that are putting space on the floor and great shooting.
Catch the Big Show weekdays from 2 to 7, presented by Big O Tires, the team you trust, on 97.5 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Firing up the smoker over the weekend?
I didn't have any plans to fire up the smoker, but anytime you say that to me, I'm like, hell yeah?
I'm kind of living vicariously through you because I'm going to be in Fresno all weekend.
What I'd like to do is fire some fresh wings and smoke up some wings.
Oh, man, I got to do the wings.
Yeah.
I was actually talking to a buddy of mine who works up at Camp Chef up in Logan. And by the way, their smokers are incredible. Anyway, he said, you got to do the wings. Quit screwing around. Do the wings.
Yeah, you got to do the wings. Lloyd, do they still sell them over there at the Harmon's by you? Was it the Harmon's that sold the fresh wings?
Yeah, they do.
They still sell them over there? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to grab some on the way home. It's Rock's birthday today.
Attaboy. Happy birthday, Rock.
I'm going to make my son some wings.
You make him go to school today?
Yeah, just a half day.
Oh, okay.
It's just a half day.
So you got plans with him?
Got plans with him this evening.
So you want to go fishing tomorrow?
Going to go fishing tomorrow.
You still got some good ice fishing going on?
Really good.
Okay.
Yeah, phenomenal.
Because I know it's been warming up lately.
Yeah, really, really good ice fishing going on. Phenomenal stuff.
How long can you extend that out to? Like another couple of weeks or so?
Back into April.
Really?
Like middle to back end of April.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
There's still some lakes up there. Up above Mount Pleasant that stay frozen that you can get on. We're talking about standing on, 5-6 inches of ice, which you can actually stand, I think, on 2-3 inches. You can be okay on. But
yeah, you
depends on the dude.
Jeez, you guys are in close proximity. That's like
600 pounds.
It's like half of an offensive line.
That's a really big line. I did want to mention, Scotty, that UFC's got a big fight coming up tomorrow, and Amanda Nunes is fighting. And right now, Amanda Nunes is probably the biggest thing in the UFC.
More than Kat?
No, not to me. Kat Zingano's always going to be my favorite fighter.
Who's that?
Well, I'm just glad that you called her Kat.
Oh, I know. I don't think we can make those jokes anymore.
I appreciate that. Amanda Nunes has won 11 straight fights. She is absolutely destroying the world of the women's division. And in those 11 straight, she's beat Holly Holm. She's beat Chris Cyborg.
I was going to ask you, is Cyborg the one that was all hopped up on horse steroids?
Yeah, she was basically growing a whole other, she's a very strong person. Also in this run, she's beat Miesha Tate. She's beat Ronda Rousey.
These are all the only women that I know, and she's beat all of them. Huh?
She's beat them all.
Wow.
Look at this. So she beat Miesha Tate by submission, rear naked choke. She beat Ronda Rousey by TKO, just punched her lights out.
Yeah.
She beat Chris Cyborg by knockout, knocked Chris Cyborg right out. She beat Holly Holm by TKO, head kicks and punches. And the last two fights, her last fight, Felicia Spencer, was a pretty tough fight. But let's just say this. You don't want to fight Amanda Nunes right now. She's the best. She might be the most consistent thing the UFC's got going for her.
Where does the women fights compare in popularity to the men's fights? 50%, 60%? Like,
in my opinion, yeah, or
in your, well, you're like neck and neck, right?
The women's division has been more fascinating to me for the last 12 years than the men's. No, 10 years than the men's division. Than any of the men's weights.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, because Ronda Rousey was the show, like the absolute show.
Yeah,
you had to watch Ronda Rousey fight. Before that, Gina Carano was the show. I was a huge fan of Gina Carano before anybody knew who Gina Carano was, and then I'm a huge fan of Miesha Tate. So, the women's division has been as fascinating, if not more fascinating, than the men's division for a long time.
Because I will always watch women's tennis over men's tennis every day of the week.
Every day of the week.
Especially, you know, post Sampras and Agassi. I used to love watching those two guys go at it. But
women's volleyball over men's volleyball.
Yes, agreed with that.
Every
as well.
Day of the week.
I really, and you and I have talked about this, I just have a hard time seeing two women just
fight,
bloody each other up and just knock each other around.
There's something about the women's division and women's fighting that's more personal. It's more angry.
Oh, okay.
Now, the lighter weights, they don't have the knockout power, so it's kind of like, you know, they're just kind of batting at each other. But watching Amanda Nunes fight, you can feel the power that she brings across on a right hook, and you know that somebody's chin's going to come off if it lands. And they attack so much more aggressively. The men like to – there's a little bit of gamesmanship.
Yeah.
But like Chris Cyborg, even Miesha Tate, Ronda Rousey, they're all an attack mode. It feels like the women are more of an attack mode. Some, if not most, are more of an attack mode than a man. A man will come in and he'll try to extend the jab and like, all right, let's fill out and see, are you going to try to shoot on me? Or are you going to try to – what are you going to do? These women will just come out and go and just hurt each other. They fight with a little bit more emotion. Mm-hmm. At least they have in some of the fights that I've watched. The last women's fight that I watched with real interest was the Amanda Nunes Holly Holm fight. That's the last.
And that's was it submission or knockout on that one?
That was a knockout. And she's pretty incredible fighter.
So that'll be part of your weekend then, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Is that a pay-per-view?
That is a pay-per-view. I'm still trying to decide if I'm going to pull the trigger on that one. I haven't paid for a UFC pay-per-view in a long, long time.
Get Scotty to pay for it. Go over to his place.
I know. I called him. He's out of town. Well, by the way, thanks for knowing which way, because you know that I already called.
I'm sure you know the garage code. Just go in there and order the thing and watch it.
He wouldn't know.
See? No harm, no foul. Everything's good.
When's the last fight? Have you watched any fights lately?
I've not watched any fights lately. I should. But I haven't.
Does our listenership, do they like the UFC? Do they like mixed martial arts or boxing? Does this market get along with that stuff?
It's a great question. Maybe you throw out a poll question on that bad boy.
Would I specify it to UFC, mixed martial arts? Would I say...
Whether it be UFC, mixed martial arts, do you like seeing women fight? I mean, I don't know how... Maybe that's not the right way to phrase it.
I'm wondering the fight world in general.
Yeah.
Like, does our audience... Do they care about the fights?
Oh, just men, women, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Boxing or mixed martial arts?
That's a good question. You know, we do a lot of market research, and I don't remember MMA popping up too much in terms of what moves the meter here, but it's been a year or so since we've done a ton of research, so maybe not. I don't know.
Is it weird that I don't like the women fights all that much?
It gives me anxiety. It makes me queasy. It really does.
Do you remember like those fights you used to see like in junior high, girls, whatever? It always made me uncomfortable. Like yeah. I just didn't feel like I was like.
And maybe we need to evolve as men.
Maybe.
I don't know, but it just. I have a hard time with it.
I know they can do it. I just don't know.
You know, that's kind of interesting to me because you'd think I would be that guy too, but I'm not kidding you guys. I am more intrigued in the women's division. I have been more intrigued in the women's division for, it was when Gina Carano really hit the fighting scene. And then Kat Zingano was a part of that. I was a huge fan of Kat Zingano, big fan of Miesha Tate, huge fan of Ronda Rousey. I'm not exactly the biggest fan of Amanda Nunes, but she is definitely the most dominant. But I don't know why you feel that way. I don't know. I don't like seeing them get hurt, but I also know that these women fighters, they're as angry and as vicious and as trained, technical. A lot of the women's fighters are actually more technical than a lot of the men fighters. But I love watching two women try to figure out who's tougher. I think that division's done really well. I think it's done well for the UFC, too.
97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Andrew's with us once again from Wasatch Medical. And, Andrew, for guys out there struggling with ED, information's important. Alternatives on how to take care of it are important. And you've got that at Wasatch Medical that attacks the root of the issue.
Yes, we do. I would invite guys struggling with ED, a little frustrated in the bedroom maybe, to go to the science page at wasatchmedicalclinic.com and just start reading 40 clinical studies from every urology outfit that exists, as far as I can tell, Cambridge University, so many others. A couple of them call this the future of ED treatment. They call it a revolutionary treatment. And they basically all conclude it's safe, it's effective at regrowing blood vessels in this part of the body pretty quickly and pretty easily. It can work for mild erectile dysfunction if you just want to improve things. It can work for severe and every age group. So this is really cool technology. We can help get the intimacy back on track and turn back the clock a little bit in the bedroom.
And a free assessment. And I really think that's important that guys can have an opportunity to see where they're at free of charge.
Yes, totally free. We believe in delivering a lot of value. You'll meet with our medical doctor. He'll do a screening. He'll be able to tell you probably why you've developed erectile dysfunction. He'll do a blood flow ultrasound, all totally free. We'll throw in a little gift that I am yet to see fail. It produces immediate results in the bedroom. You'll love it. And it's maybe a $400 or $500 value. We are doing it totally free.
801-901-8000. That's 801-901-8000 right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.